Welcome to another podcast by Every Nation Brisbane. We're so glad you can join us here today. For more information about our church, visit us on the web at enbrisbane.org. Please enjoy the following message.
Our reading today comes from Isaiah 55, verse 6 to 9. Seek the Lord while he may be found. Call upon him while he is near. Let the wicked forsake his way and the unrighteous man his thoughts. Let him return to the Lord, that he may have compassion on him, and to our God, for he will abundantly pardon. For my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are your ways my ways, declares the Lord. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts.
Thank you, Bianca. Let's pray, everybody. Bow our heads in prayer. Father, thank you for your Spirit that is here today. We thank you, Lord, that you are showing us your ways from your word. And Lord, we come expectant to hear from our Father who loves us. We want to remove every distraction that would cause us to be distracted from hearing what you have to say to us, your children. Lord, I want to pray that you would think through my mind, speak through my mouth, that we hear directly from heaven and from your throne. We're glad that we get to call you Abba in Jesus' name. Amen. My name is Nelly. I'm the senior pastor here at Every Nation Brisbane. We have two locations. This is one of them out here in Logan. Centralites, what do you think of our new digs out here in Logan? You like? Some of y'all are like, I want to come to Logan now. No, you stay at Central. We need to make disciples where in Central as well. All right. Well, we've been going through this series called It's a Wonderful Life. And today, the title of my message is The Upside Down Life. The Upside Down Life. Okay, now let me ask you this question. This question here that I have for you. Have you ever watched the trailer of a movie and thought it looked really interesting and then only to see that it was not as good as you first thought? How many of you could name that movie? You can just yell it out to me. Like there was a movie called Downsizing. Any of you like, wow, that looks really interesting. And then you watched it and wah, 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 wah. There's quite a few movies like that, right? Like you expected great things. You saw the stars and they were like, wow, this is going to be really good. One of those movies for me is this movie. I don't know if any of you heard it. It was called Upside Down. Any of you heard of this movie? It's directed by a French director. It stars Jim Burgess and Reese Witherspoon. And they live in two kingdoms or worlds that are upside down from each other, with gravitational pull, and they fall in love with each other, but they can't be together because they're at war with one another. It's really strange, really strange. It was one of those movies, like I was really excited to see the concept, but you know those movies that you watch the trailer and the whole movie's in the trailer? It was one of those. There's a reason why it only got 12% at Rotten Tomatoes. For those of you who don't know what Rotten Tomatoes is, Rotten Tomatoes is this movie website where they aggregate all of the movie reviews and then they make a percentage. Yeah, 12% is not good. Not just in exams, but in movie ratings, just in case you're wondering. And so when we think about the mention in Scripture about the story that is completely upside down from what we think about, I often think about the gospel of the kingdom. And the gospel of the kingdom I'm going to be talking about today. The gospel of the kingdom, we've got to understand what the gospel is. I'll break that down, and then we'll talk about the kingdom. Let me just say this about the kingdom of God. It's just acknowledging who's the king. Who's the king? Jesus, God? Yes, that's right. Some of you are hesitant on that. It's not LeBron James. I heard somebody say that, all right? The king we're talking about here is the King of Kings. It's Jesus Christ. Right. And so the gospel of the kingdom is the gospel of an upside down kingdom. It's completely upside down from the way the world would think. Now, if we go back to the passage that Bianca read earlier from Isaiah, Isaiah is divided into two parts, the first 40 books and then the remaining 26. There are 66 chapters, in the book of Isaiah. And so the first part, the first 40 chapters are kind of like, don't do that. Because if you do that, you're going to get in trouble with the foreign nations. And then the last 26 chapters are, I told you, that's why we're here and with the nations. We've been exiled now. I tried to tell you not to do that. You know, any of you had parents that they tell you not to do something, you do it, and they don't have to say anything when you do it and you find out it was wrong what you did. And you hurt yourself. And my mom used to give me this look. And she didn't have to say anything. Just look. Any of you have any parents like that? Just give you the... Yeah, in Psalm 1, for those of you who aren't Psalm 1 here, we have a phrase called wa la ia. That means, I told you so. That's what you get, right? So my mom didn't even have to say wa la ia. She just had the look that said wa la ia. Some of you are looking at me like, my parents never, you know. I was a perfect child. Don't know what you're talking about, Pastor Nelly. So if you think about it, right, what's happened is they're in exile now. This is an artist's impressions of what it would have looked like when the Babylonians raided and the Assyrians raided Israel and Judah. Like, people were scrambling for their lives. And so as they were scrambling, they were taken into exile. Now, exile is different from slavery in the sense that if you're in exile, you can still have jobs, you can still have a life, you can still raise a family there, but you're under the rule of a different government. And often at times, there would be such a heavy rule that they wouldn't be able to worship their own gods, so they'd have to worship the Babylonian gods. And so when you're in a moment like this where there's so much uncertainty, how many of you experienced the uncertainty of 2020? How many of you have experienced that this year, right? How many, keep your hands up. How many of you have asked the question, real talk, what are you doing, God? What are you up to? Yep, my hand is up too. Not in a, like, doubting him, but like trying to figure it out sort of way. Like, some of us may have doubted, and that's okay as long as you're bringing your doubts to God. But that was the sort of environment these Israelites were in. They were like, what are you doing, God? I thought you were in full control. We sang the song, our God is in control. And it doesn't look like he's in control. Like, what's going on, God? Any of you been that real with God ever? Some of you, y'all are looking at me like, are you allowed to? Yes, you're allowed. Here's something we need to understand, okay? More than half of the Psalms are what we call laments, which are like complaints up towards God. God, where are you? You've forsaken me. I can't find you. Like, David cries out to God. It's okay to cry out to God, okay? Some of us may have the impression that we're not allowed to cry out to God. Actually, it's good to cry out to God because he's the only one that can answer what you're going through, a lot of us. So imagine when Isaiah prophesies this to the people that are in exile. How beautiful upon the mountains are the feet of him who brings good news. Look at your neighbor's shoes. Hopefully they're wearing some. Tell them, how beautiful are the feet of him or her who brings good news. Like, even if they got those West Side toes, just prophesy. How beautiful are the feet of those who bring good news, who publishes peace, who brings good news. Everybody say good news. Good news of happiness, who publishes salvation, who says to Zion, your God reigns. Turn to somebody, encourage them. Your God reigns. This is the good news, brothers and sisters. Your God reigns means he's in control. He's got this. Even when it feels like things are so uncertain. I'm not just talking about this global pandemic, but some of us in this room may have experienced loved ones who've gone through terminal illness and we're trying to make sense of it. Or somebody's lost their job after working faithfully for a company for so long. You're like, what is going on here? For us to hear your God reigns should bring us comfort. If it doesn't bring us comfort, it shows who really reigns. Let me say that again. If it doesn't bring us comfort, it shows who really is in control and who really reigns. This term, good news, which we get the word gospel from, is the Greek word evangelion. Evangelion is where we get the word evangelist from. Somebody who brings the good news, someone who's a herald who carries the good news. And the good news is that our God reigns. This is the gospel. The gospel message is basically he created us, creation. He created us to worship him, right? But then the fall happened and we've fallen short of the glory of God because of our proclivity towards wanting to be God. But God, out of his own grace, totally undeserved, totally unexpected, wraps himself in human flesh and becomes a sacrifice for us. This is the upside down life. This is the upside down world that we live in, guys, is that this message makes absolutely no sense. That he lays his life down. He's not just the priest. He's the sacrifice. He's not just the king. He's the one who comes down to serve his people. He's not just the prophet who teaches. He embodies and is the fulfillment of the Old Testament. He says, I am he, and he is the good news. And the good news is the king reigns. Now, can you imagine, right? That prophecy that Isaiah gave was around 700 years before Jesus was born. So they've been waiting on Jesus. Now, they're under Roman rule by this time. The Romans are very oppressive to the Jews. So strict. And so they're waiting on this king to come in and just smoke the Romans. Like just lay the smack down on the Romans. And so they're waiting on Jesus, right? And Jesus, that they picture in their mind, might look a little something like this. Like somebody who's going to come in and just smoke the Romans. Wouldn't you think that, look, there's somebody, this is oppressive party that's just like so heavy on us, we can't wait for somebody to come and wipe them out. So they're imagining that somebody like Arnold Schwarzenegger in the 80s classic movie, Commando, is going to come out and just smoke everybody. But that's not the way Jesus came. The Bible actually says in Isaiah, in the chapter before the one that Bianca read, that you wouldn't even be able to recognize Jesus. He was so unimpressionable that you wouldn't even know who he was in a crowd. And the thing is, he preached this upside-down teaching of which we call the gospel. Let's go here. At that time, the disciples came to Jesus and asked, who then is the greatest? Can you imagine the disciples around Jesus? Who's the greatest, Jesus? We want to hear the greatest in the kingdom of heaven. And he called a little child. Can you imagine? Like they're all asking, is one of us the greatest? Peter's like, yeah, I'm the greatest. He said that he's going to build his church with me, you know, and the gates of hell won't prevail. You know, and then one of the other disciples, like Bartholomew, he says, nah, but he said after that, get behind me, Satan, so it can't be you. And then John's like, but, you know, I'm the disciple whom Jesus loved. And then James is like, yeah, but you wrote that about yourself and your own gospel. Like you're a humble guy. And Thomas is like, I doubt it. They're all fighting over who's the greatest. And Jesus goes, let's get a little child out here. And he placed the child among them. And then he says to them, truly I tell you, unless you change and become like little children, so vulnerable, reliant, fully reliant on the Father, you will never enter the kingdom of heaven. Therefore, whoever takes the lowly position of this child is the greatest in the kingdom of heaven. Like, does that not just shut your mouth? Oh, okay. And then Jesus goes on to say in the next gospel, in Mark, he says, and he sat down amongst the 12 and he said to them, if any of you want to be first, you must be the last of all and the servant of all. That totally flips the mindset, right? Because if Jesus is coming in as king, shouldn't he be the one that served? No, he's like, no, I've come to serve. And they were like, what? That doesn't make any sense. Are you following me with how upside down this is? Because at that time, just like this time, people are in pursuit of power and they will use that power to wipe out the enemy. And Jesus is the one saying, I have ultimate power, but I'm distributing it. I'm using my power to serve. And we'll get into that in just a moment. Look at Matthew 3. Check this out, guys. Matthew 3 says, you have heard it was said, you shall love your neighbor and hate your enemy. Can you imagine? Like the Romans came and busted the door down and just did all sorts of crazy stuff in the house. And then you're supposed to love them? This is what Jesus was saying to the disciples. But I say to you, love your enemies and pray. What? Pray? Pray for those who persecute you so that you may be sons of your Father who is in heaven. For he makes his sun rise on the evil and the good, and he sends rain on the just and on the unjust. For if you love those who love you, what reward do you have? Do not even tax collectors do the same? And if you greet only your brothers, what more are you doing than others? Do not even the Gentiles do the same? He's saying, love people that aren't like you and don't like you. This is flipping everybody's mindset around. So the Israelites are hearing, okay, this guy proclaims to be the king, but everything that he's teaching is totally upside down with what we think. I thought we were here to gain religious power and authority in order that we may rule. And Jesus is like, no, I've already got the power. I'm here to serve. And I'm here to lay my life down in order that others may find the Father. Luke 7 goes on to say, and Jesus went with them, and he was not far from the house. And then the centurion, okay, check this out. The centurion sent his friends, saying to Jesus, Lord, hold up. Let's just pause there. This is a Roman guy. This is a Gentile. You don't find many of the Jews even call Jesus Lord at this point. But it took somebody from the outside who was an enemy to see Jesus as Lord. Some of them thought, oh, he's a good teacher, like he's really wise. But for a Gentile to see Jesus as Lord was completely upside down. When somebody from the outside recognizes who Jesus is. Lord, do not trouble yourself, for I'm not worthy to have you under my roof. Therefore, I did not presume to come to you, but say the word and let my servant be healed. So he said, look, you don't even need to come to my house. Just say the word. That's how much power you... Do you realize like how much revelation this Roman centurion had that even his own disciples didn't get? Like he was like, no, you don't even need to come over. All you need to say is healed and then done. Because you're God wrapped in flesh. Like he recognized that. That sort of revelation wasn't supposed to be for the Gentiles, but it was. For I too am a man under authority with soldiers under me. And I say to one, go, and he goes. And to another, come, and he comes. To my servant, do this, and he does it. And when Jesus heard these things, he marveled at him. And turning to the crowd that followed him, he said, can you come and teach my staff over here? Because they've been walking with me for 3 years, and they still don't get it. And you just roll up in here, and you're not even a Jew, and you just totally know that I'm Lord. Yet how many of us really are willing to get our hands dirty in the upside-down kingdom and see those who are really on the outside come to know him on the inside, treating this like it's an exclusive club? It's not. I tell you, even in Israel, have I found such faith. Not even in Israel. I haven't seen it here. And when those who had been sent returned to the house, they found the servant well. Can you imagine? They went home and the guy that was sick, you know, laid out on the bed like, oh, I can't move. He's going to die any minute. They walk in the door. Hey, man, what's up, man? Did you bring some lunch? Like, he's completely healed. Under the authoritative word of Jesus. This is the upside down kingdom. Jesus has ultimate power over even the Romans, but uses it to serve the Romans. Can you imagine the Jews? Like, hey, hold on here. Like, you are healing Roman guys. Like, do you understand those Romans are the ones that are persecuting us? Do you understand that Roman centurion is the one that beat my cousin and all of that sort of stuff? Like, they went through all of this and you're healing? Like, can you imagine how that stirs up all sorts of emotion in them? Because they thought that it was their privilege to be like the insider club of God information, of this good news, the Evangelion. And Jesus says, no, this gospel is for the whole world. Mark chapter 15, it says, and when the centurion, this gets me too. Jesus is on the cross at this point. And when he's on the cross, notice it's a Roman centurion who declares, the first person to say this, who stood facing him, saw that in this way he breathed his last. And he said, truly, this man was the Son of God. It was a Roman. It was an outsider who recognized the kingship of God. How are they going to recognize Jesus today if we, his church, are not mobilized with our upside down kingdom thinking to take this evangelion, to take this good news out? Think about Jesus at this point, right? The centurion in Luke, that same centurion, he's seen praising God. That trips me out, man. Not even his disciples were praising him after walking with him for 3 years. But a man on the outside, this is the upside down kingdom, y'all, was the first one to start praising God and saying, certainly this man was innocent. The upside kingdom is this. when we are putting crowns, for those of you who have been watching the Netflix series Crown, there's a different kind of crown that Jesus wore. It's nothing like Queen Elizabeth. I touched on this here in Logan last week. The crown of thorns is significant because the Roman soldiers who put this crown on his head put it as a sign of mockery, but it was a prophetic sign for those of us who remember the gospel of the kingdom. In Mark chapter 4, it talks about the kingdom of God is like this. It's like a sower going to sow seeds. And one of those groups of seeds was thrown into a thorny bush. And so when the seeds would grow to a certain point, the thorny bushes would strangle out the word of God. And the thorny bushes represented the cares and the worries of this life. And so when Jesus went to the cross and took upon himself the thorny crowns, he took upon himself the worries and the cares and the anxieties that choke out his word. He took them to the cross. So what the Romans meant for evil, God turned it into something good, because that which was supposed to choke out the word of God in you, Jesus took to the cross and wore it upon his head, which is where the worries reside. And so we need to know that the battle for our minds is already won at the cross because of the upside down kingdom. They were waiting for a spiritual Rambo, and he came to serve. They were waiting for a king that they would lift up and glorify. And yet he was lifted onto a cross, completely naked, mocked and ridiculed, even by the robbers, the Bible says, that were being crucified next to him. And so when Isaiah says, how beautiful are the feet of those who bring the good news, we need to understand where those feet really are, on the cross, pierced for our transgressions and our sins and our proclivity to want the power to get. When Jesus says, I have the power to give life. The world wasn't ready for this. We still aren't ready for this for whatever reason. It's because his ways are higher, right? Remember what Isaiah 55 says, seek the Lord. Turn to somebody, encourage them, seek the Lord while he may be found. Let me tell you something, tomorrow's not promised, y'all. I'll get around to finding Jesus. Look, it's not Nemo. You're not promised to just keep swimming. This may be the end. And I think this pandemic has got us in a place of sobriety where we're starting to see, you know what, man, I can't believe that this is happening in my lifetime. So tomorrow is not promised. Seek the Lord while he may be found and call upon him while he is near. He is near. He is here right now. Don't waste another moment. Let the wicked forsake his way. So you're at the point of choice. Look, God and his sovereignty is still in full control, but he knows that in order for us to worship him, it needs to be in our own volition. And we need to fully give our lives over to him. And that's where it's like, okay, is it my way? Because I am the way, the truth, and the life. Or is it your way, where you trust in your own capability, in your own capacity? And this is unfortunately the trap that humanity has fallen into here in 2020. Is that we've not forsaken our way. We've said it's all about my way. Whether it's Sinatra or Usher, it's my way. And the unrighteous man and his thoughts. Whew. So it's not just your ways, the way you're walking, but it's your thinking. Wouldn't it be a reality check if we had video screens attached to our heads? We're walking around Logan City or walking around Queen Street in Central, right? And we were able to see your thoughts as you walk down the street. How many of you would like have a curtain over your screen? The Lord says, look, forsake your ways, forsake your thoughts. Let him return to the Lord that he may have compassion on him. And to our God, for he will abundantly pardon. God wants to pardon you. He wants to forgive you. But will you trust him? For my thoughts are not your thoughts. Neither are your ways my ways, declares the Lord. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts higher than your thoughts. So his ways are higher. His thoughts are higher. Or as this generation says, Jesus just hits different, completely different. His thinking and his ways are upside down. Church, are you willing to trust him tonight? Like fully trust him? Because this is the adventure he invites us on. Forget Aladdin. He tells you, I can show you the world, shining, shimmering, splendid. The world that God wants to show you is far more superior to anything that Disney can produce.
It's the adventure of a lifetime. But are you going to settle for your boring existence of working a 9-to-5 that you don't like? And I'm not saying go ahead and dump your job. Be faithful in your job. Please do. But like, understand that the kingdom of God is where God has you. If you're to be faithful in your job, see the missional mindset that God wants to unravel where your job is right now. It saddens me when I hear surveys, at least in the United States, in the late 90s, where 85%, I would venture to say it's higher even now, 85% of people that work full-time positions actually don't like their jobs. Makes you wonder, well, why are you doing your job? When God has a purpose and a destiny for you, it'll hit different, because if it's all about the money, that can't be the primary purpose as to why you serve and live out in God's purposes. The primary purpose is Jesus. The primary reason is Jesus. So I'm going to give you three questions really quickly, and then we're going to get into a time of discussion and prayer. Here are the three questions. I want you to write them down because I want you to ask yourself these questions throughout the week. Go back to Isaiah 55 and chew on those scriptures, y'all. It's really important. Guys, I want to encourage you, church. Whenever we come together like this, please take notes. Because this word is not something that you'll hear once and then you'll be able to absorb everything, okay? I want you to go home and ask God for his own revelation as you chew on this word on your own time. Here's the three questions. The first question is, do you use your power to get more or to serve more? Do you use your power to get more or to serve more? Well, Pastor Nelly, I don't have power. Let's keep it in its most basic form. Do you have electricity? That's power. Do you realize that a lot of people in this world don't have power? That's power. Most of us in this room all of us in this room would be in the top 7 to 10% of those who have an income. It may not seem like that in Australia, in the world, because there are many who are way below the poverty line. So how do we use our power? And it's not just that sort of power, but it's the power that you've been given knowing the gospel. Do you use that power to get more power or to serve with what the power that God's given you? I love this from Romans 15. This is the Message version. Those of us who are strong and able in the faith need to step in and lend a hand to those who falter and not just do what is most convenient for us. Wow, that's pretty real, eh? Read this next part with me, everybody. Strength is for service, not status. Read that one more time. Strength is for service, not status. So the strength that God has given you is to serve others. It's not to build up your own status. It's not just so that you can have that on your business card. I am a prophet, or I am a teacher, I am an accountant, or I am a personal trainer. But how are you using those strengths? Is it for serving others, or is it for your own status? Let's go to the second question. Do we live like he reigns, or live like we reign? Do we live like he reigns, or live like we reign? What do I mean by that? If our God is in full control and he's all powerful, do we live like that? Do we live like he has all power? Do we pray like he has all power? Do we pray in faith and step out and say, you know what? This is the sort of power that God has, so why don't I pray out in that sort of faith? Like, that's how powerful our God is. But it's sometimes we're kind of like, a little scared or trepidatious to pray or lean on God like he's got it all together. And that's when we embrace anxiety. It's like the image of somebody seated on the throne. If Jesus is on the seat of the throne, there is no room for you to try to get your little, like wedge yourself onto the throne. Excuse me, Lord, I just want to take control of my finances and, you know, just take control of this area, my little secret relationship that I have over here. Can I just hold on to that number, that phone number on my second phone? That's right, I have a second phone. You know, like, and before you know it, Jesus is like, no, I'm either Lord of all or not at all. Do I reign in your life? Do I have full control? Do we live like he reigns, or do we live like we reign? Okay, here's my last one. Do we live like he's already won, or live like we're still striving to win? Do we live like he's already won, or do we live like we're striving to win? I'm just going to close with a story from my life. just kind of exemplifies this. About 2 years ago, I was studying. I was doing a master's degree. Praise God, that's something I got out of this pandemic. I finished a master's degree. Yes, thank you, Jesus. So I was overseas because part of my degree, I have to fly overseas for 2 to 3 weeks to do some of those papers live in the university setting, right? So I flew overseas, and during the 2 to 3 weeks that I was away, it was my eldest daughter Nazareth's birthday, and I felt really bad. Nazareth, I'm so sorry, but I had to be there for my studies. And so what happened was, I get this call about, like, say, 3 days before Nazareth's birthday, and my wife sounded really sad. Many of you know my wife's an actress, so my wife was really sad, and she called up and she said, "Nellie, you know, Nazareth's birthday is coming up, and you know, it's sad you're not here. Like, I'm already feeling really bad, right? I'm real guilty about it. I'm like, I wish I could be there." Tina, she's like, "You know what would make her feel better? Because the girls have been asking, you know, they've been asking Nellie for years, because they want a dog." And for those of you who know me well, know that I didn't grow up with pets, right? I didn't grow up with pets, so I'm kind of like the guy that, like, if the dog comes and licks me, I'm like that guy, you know, like pat the dog and like one finger, just say ew, yuck. And I didn't want a dog, you know, like hair all over the place and all that. You have to poop a scooper and all that stuff, you know. And then budget. Look, I'm already feeding three Samoan children. I have to feed a dog as well. So I'm thinking all of this, but you know, compassion of the Lord arose in my heart at the time, you know. I said, you know what? I've said no for the last 12 years. At that point, it was 12 years that we've been married, because Tina's been bugging me about a pet since we've been married, man. And so it's like Pharaoh's heart, right? Like, let my people go. And I'm like, okay. But like, finally, you know, like I said, let me pray about it. I'll get back to you tomorrow. So I went and prayed about it. And of course, like early in the morning, she calls me right away. "So you prayed about it? Have you prayed about it? Have you prayed about it?" And I said, "You know what? I have. And. Yeah, I prayed about it. And yeah, I feel like the Lord has given me the grace to say yes to you." Woohoo! So you can go and prepare, go and look at some dogs, look at your options, and see what dog that you might like. And she was like, "Oh, thank you, Nellie. Thank you so much." Within like 45 minutes of that call on Facebook, this photo comes up. That photo comes up. You can't see the background, but that's my house. In other words, she already had like a cooking show, right? Here's a dish I prepared for earlier. Like, she already knew the heart of the Father, i.e. me. And she knew that the promises that I would, she knew the leanings, and she knew that eventually that she would have what was promised to her. And so she already had the dog waiting. Like, she would have taken it back if I said no. But because the same Holy Spirit lives in you, lives in me, God moved the heart of Pharaoh, and that photo was up on Facebook within 45 minutes. The background, see those ridges? That's my wall. See, when you know the heart of the Father who reigns, you don't live in trepidation. You don't live in fear, like, "Oh, is he really going to come through with his promises? I'm not really sure." If you know the heart of the Father, you know he's got this. He's going to come through with what he says. He's in the business of turning your life upside down the right way, if you'll just learn to trust him. That's why he sent his son. Everybody was expecting a Christian Rambo. They sent Jesus. Jesus was sent from heaven for you and for me. And I ask you today, who reigns? Who reigns in your life? Who's in full control of your life today? The questions I want to give you a few moments to discuss is, are you living the upside down life that Jesus offers to us in victory? If so, can others see the difference? It's one thing to say, "Yes, Pastor Nelly, I'm living the upside down life," and everyone can see the difference. Or I don't think they can see the difference, but you know, in my life, I can see the difference. No, everybody else has to see the change. All right, it's a personal Jesus. So, you know, it's just personal. He's just like in my pocket. Jesus, are you there? No, he needs to be public. People need to see him. And if not, would you like to? Go ahead and take a few moments to to answer these questions, but I'm going to pray for you firstly, because I believe that people in this room, ladies and gentlemen, my friends, there are people in this room that have not heard this message the way I'm bringing it to you today. And you've tried to, in your own effort, try to attain this sense of, if I reign and I'm in control, then I can get on top of it. You can't. You can't. You need to trust in the one who created the universe and has you in the palm of his hand, because he loves you. He's your daddy. If you'll just learn to trust him wholeheartedly, the one who sent his son for you, will you trust him today? So I just, before we discuss, I want every head bowed and every eye closed. I'm going to invite you to pray to receive Jesus as your king. And if you're watching online, I want to encourage you, those of you who are watching online, if you would like to pray this prayer to receive Jesus as the one who rules in your life, the king of the upside down gospel-centered kingdom, I want to invite you to pray this prayer with me. Everybody who desires to pray that prayer, and even for those of us who are in this room who are already Christians, I want us to pray this prayer with me. Pray this prayer. Lord Jesus, I come to you today recognizing that I am a sinner. I have fallen short because I've trusted in my own ability. Today, I fully put my trust in you. You are my God. You are Lord, the one who calls the shots. Take full control. I thank you that you sent your son Jesus to lay his life down for me, and that I am forgiven and cleansed from all unrighteousness as I confess my sins. I embrace you now as the one who rules my life. Take over, Lord. I declare today that I am yours and you are mine. In Jesus' name, amen.
We hope you've enjoyed today's message brought to you by Every Nation Brisbane. For more information about our church, visit us on the web at ianbrisbane.org. Thank you for listening. God bless.